First Samuel 20 through 21. Then David fled from Naioth in Ramah, and he came and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father, that he is seeking my life?" He said to him, "Far from it, you shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing either great or small without informing me. So why would my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Yet David vowed again, saying, "Your father is well aware that I have found favor in your sight, and he has said, 'Jonathan is not to know this, otherwise he will be worried.' But indeed, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is just a step between me and death." Then Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." So David said to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I am obligated to sit down and eat with the king. But let me go so that I may hide myself in the field until the third evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly requested leave of me to run to Bethlehem, his city, because it is the yearly sacrifice there for the whole family.' And if he says, 'That is good, your servant will be safe.' But if he is very angry, be aware that he has decided on evil. So deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. But if I am guilty of wrongdoing, kill me yourself. For why then should you bring me to your father?" Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. For if I in fact learn that my father has decided to inflict harm on you, would I not inform you?" Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will inform me if your father answers you harshly?" Jonathan said to David, "Come, and let's go out to the field." So both of them went out to the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord, the God of Israel, is my witness. When I have sounded out my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if he has a good feeling toward you, shall I not then send word to you and inform you? And if it pleases my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to me and more so, if I fail to inform you and send you away, so that you may go in safety. And may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And if I am still alive, will you not show me the faithfulness of the Lord, so that I do not die? And you shall never cut off your loyalty to my house, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord demand it from the hands of David's enemies." And Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life. Then Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed since your seat will be empty. When you have stayed for 3 days, you shall go down quickly, and come to the place where you hid yourself on that eventful day, and you shall remain beside the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows to the side, as though I shot at a target. Then behold, I will send the boy, telling him, 'Go find the arrows.' If I specifically say to the boy, 'Behold, the arrows are on this side of you, get them,' then come, because it is safe for you, and there is nothing to harm you, as the Lord lives. But if I say to the youth, 'Behold, the arrows are beyond you,' go, because the Lord has sent you away. As for the agreement of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever." So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat food. Now the king sat on his seat as usual, the seat by the wall. Then Jonathan stood up, and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, because he thought, "It must have been an accident. He is not clean. Undoubtedly, he is not clean." But it came about the next day, the second day of the new moon, that David's place was empty again. So Saul said to his son Jonathan, "Why has the son of Jesse not come to the meal either yesterday or today?" And Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly requested leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, please let me go, because our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has ordered me to attend. So now, if I have found favor in your sight, please let me slip away, so that I may see my brothers. For this reason, he has not come to the king's table." Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman! Do I not know that you are choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now then, send men and bring him to me, for he is doomed to die." But Jonathan replied to his father Saul and said to him, "Why must he be put to death? What has he done?" Then Saul hurled his spear at him to strike and kill him. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. Then Jonathan got up from the table in the heat of anger, and did not eat food on the second day of the new moon, because he was worried about David since his father had insulted him. Now it came about in the morning that Jonathan went out to the field at the time agreed upon with David, and a little boy was with him. He said to his boy, "Run, find now the arrows which I am about to shoot." The boy ran, and he shot an arrow past him. When the boy reached the location of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called after the boy and said, "Is the arrow not beyond you?" Then Jonathan called after the boy, "Hurry, be quick, do not stay." And Jonathan's boy picked up the arrow and came to his master. But the boy was not aware of anything. Only Jonathan and David knew about the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his boy and said to him, "Go, bring them to the city." When the boy was gone, David got up from the south side. Then he fell on his face to the ground and bowed 3 times. And they kissed each other and wept together. And David wept immeasurably. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in safety, since we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever.'" So David set out and went on his way, while Jonathan went into the city. Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone, and no one with you?" David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has commissioned me with a matter and has said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the matter on which I am sending you, with which I have commissioned you.' And I have directed the young men to a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever can be found." The priest answered David and said, "There is no ordinary bread on hand, but there is consecrated bread, if only the young men have kept themselves from women." David answered the priest and said to him, "Be assured, women have been denied to us as previously when I left and the bodies of the young men were consecrated, though it was an ordinary journey. How much more, then, will their bodies be consecrated today?" So the priest gave him consecrated bread, for there was no bread there except the bread of the presence, which was removed from its place before the Lord, in order to put hot bread in its place on the day it was taken away. Now one of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. David said to Ahimelech, "Now is there no spear or sword on hand? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's matter was urgent." Then the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you would take it for yourself, take it, for there is no other except it here." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Then David set out and fled that day from Saul, and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s'? David took these words to heart, and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. So he disguised his sanity while in their sight, and acted insanely in their custody. And he scribbled on the doors of the gate, and drooled on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see the man is behaving like an insane person. Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack insane people, that you have brought this one to behave like an insane person in my presence? Shall this one come into my house?" Luke 1:39-80. Now at this time, Mary set out and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondservant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is to generation after generation, toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has given help to his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zechariah, after his father. And yet his mother responded, and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet, and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began speaking in praise of God. And fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these matters were being talked about in the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, would serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, also will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation, by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now the child grew and was becoming strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Hebrews 11:17-40. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and the one who had received the promises was offering up his only son. It was he to whom it was said, "Through Isaac your descendants shall be named." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel, and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called a son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered, as though seeing him who was unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after the Israelites had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others experienced mocking and flogging, and further, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, people of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, on mountains, and sheltering in caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Proverbs 16:23-33. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth, and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. A worthless person digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse person spreads strife, and a slanderer separates close friends. A person of violence entices his neighbor, and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eyes does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. One who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and one who rules his spirit than one who captures a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, "Where then is their God?" But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord increase in you, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of mankind. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord, from this time and forever. Praise the Lord.